This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook, and I have a legendary guest. It's very rare in the sports world that I get an equal partner in the legends of sports, but he is Adam Wilkes. He's the CEO of Karma Hold Co., and it's 2.0 of Tyson. And if anyone knows the word Tyson, I'm not talking about the chicken. I'm talking about the antithesis of the chicken. I'm talking about Iron Mike Tyson. Adam Wilkes, welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you having me today.
Well, you know, and you share this legendary sports background because we've worked with the biggest names in the world. And, you know, I was blessed to be a part of representing Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, both who have relationships with Iron Mike and you. But nobody thinks about the branding of the biggest names. And the world has opened up since we started this journey. And everyone changes. Time, emotion, value changes. I want to start with that. When you're holding the biggest brands in the world and they're trusting you with those brands, especially historically with Mike, where people have taken advantage of his brand, what are some of the things that you are doing to protect, promote, and perfect the brand when the world now is so connected and it changes so fast?
Yeah, no, great question. So for us, a heavy focus and a word I use a lot, you'll hear a lot while we go through this, is authenticity. It's always about finding talent that is authentic and real about the product. So at Karma Hold Co., we're a global house of brands. We focus on leveraging celebrity, athletes, and artists, NIL, name, image, and likeness, to create authentic CPG products. So we're bringing products to consumers that can connect on just a real level, right? Being able to connect with Mike Tyson on a product like his cannabis line, for example, which he uses daily for his mental health, or connecting with Ric Flair through his Woo Energy. We all know Ric Flair and his ball of energy, right? Pumping up sports teams and so on. That's why we packed his body into a can, right? A Woo Energy. We're the exclusive energy for the Cleveland Cavaliers, for example, and a lot of sports teams. But finding the authenticity that can connect the talent to the consumer is key, because we've all seen dozens and dozens of celebrities just slap their name on a product and it doesn't work. Sits on the shelf, won't sell brew. In the cannabis space specific, we've seen the likes of, you know, some of the biggest names in hip hop, for example, Jay-Z. Everybody knows that name. He started a cannabis brand, didn't go anywhere. The authenticity is key when it comes to CPG products, in my opinion. And we've, I think, mastered that with the likes of Mike Tyson, Ric Flair, Future, and created the largest cannabis brand on the planet now by geographic coverage. Branded products now available in 19 different countries in almost every state here in the U.S.
And you work with some of the biggest brands, not only individuals, but the corporate brands that they are attached to or have created themselves. And one of the areas that I got hired for when way back when with Lee Steinberg was not just my understanding of technology, which is integrated today in almost every CPG product, but also venture capital. And there's real money that can be made in protecting and building a brand when we understand equity. And so is that a component of what you're doing with these brands, utilizing different mechanisms to not only build the brand, but finance and capitalize the company so that your business and your partners involved can have the exponentiality of value that is included in the venture portion of CPG?
Absolutely. So Ric Flair, Mike Tyson are both shareholders in Karma Hold Co. I spent a decade in the private equity world focused on QSR, quick service restaurants, licensing brands like Pinkberry, Cold Stone. So I've shifted my focus. It's the same model. We were licensing through a franchise model, and we're doing the same thing here now. Licensing celebrity IP for a royalty, right? It's the same concept, different product.
And today, in the aspect of equity as well, in the NIL, in the licensing, in the soft endorsement side, as well as the hard endorsement or the solid endorsement side, there's a crowd aspect that has never been seen before. You and I both were doing business in the traditional world when you didn't have access to the entire world. And like you said, there's been some pretty big personal brands that haven't carried the energy, frequency, and interest in products or the equity side of the business because they are just slapping their name on that product. How have you been able to utilize the size, scope, and scale of the audience now that the government and society has opened up the idea of crowdfunding or crowd interest into the billions of people?
Yeah. So on the capital side, we have, again, you and I both, you know, with the decades in the networks we've developed in the capital markets and the private equity space, I do have a very close group that we went around to raise our capital through. So we haven't actually done any crowdfunding direct. But as far as finding new licensees, we do use a many different methods. And I mean, even just using social media now and the access to the tens and tens of millions that our talent have as followers and being able to tap into just different networks and so on and grow the brand that way. You have licensees lining up left, right, and center to help expand the brand through, you know, whether it's a licensee in Germany, a licensee in UK, whether it's something like our supplements, a manufacturer that wants to do magnesium, a magnesium product, or our memory and focus pills, our nicotine pouches. It's endless. And again, we're always, you know, doing our due diligence to find the right partner, you know, ensuring they have the right capital, following the regulatory approvals and so on to scale these brands, you know, as fast and efficiently as possible.
And utilizing this idea of authenticity, which sometimes is overused, one of the things that I've learned in the world of sports marketing and was blessed to learn and work with one of the best, which was Warren Moon, in building Sports One marketing globally for a decade and a half, was that we talked about frequency or essence. And there's certain individuals, even within the Kardashian family, there's certain sisters that are at a frequency or a vibration that it goes beyond just being authentic. It is actually an energetic connection that allows companies to go to over $1 billion. Rick, as well as Mike, are two of those guys that, you know, not, they're obviously authentic, but they're past authentic. They live at their essence. They're vulnerable. You can feel their frequency. There's a difference between authentic and the essence or frequency of an individual or a brand. And that to me is the differentiator in success. That people can be authentic, but there's a certain vulnerability. There's a certain characteristic of someone that's at their frequency. And because it's amplified to billions of people, not just millions anymore, that those people that live at their essence, at their frequency, are the ones that have great value to a brand. And when they attach their frequency, not just their name, when they attach frequency, like you said, this is Ric Flair in a bottle, right? Or in a can. That's a frequency. You don't even need his picture on it, right? I'm now going, hey man, this is an energy boost. How have you been able to distinguish that separation that exists between authenticity and frequency or essence?
Yeah, I mean, Mike's a great example there, right? I mean, the energy and the frequency that he gives off, being able to travel the world with Mike and see how he connects to consumers on a personal level, forget the product itself, Mike himself in market, meeting with these people. I mean, you've been there, I've been there. We sit down at dinner with, you know, our talent and just want to have a nice quiet dinner. And you got 30 people lining up to come and, hey, Mike, can I get a photo? Can I get a photo? I get more frustrated than Mike does. Mike knows he's here for a purpose. He says to me, he's like, Adam, if I woke up one day and no one knew who it was, he goes, I don't know what I would do with myself. He goes, you know, God put me here for a purpose, and that is my purpose. The energy that he gives, the consistency, the dedication he has to his consumers translates, you know, he translates that energy and that frequency into the products, which is how I think we've been able to be so successful. And the connection there is why the consumers continue to acquire his products and come out, go and find what he puts out there for them to connect on a personal level, right?
And at that personal level comes vulnerability. And, yep. you know, knowing Mike Tyson since Indiana, one of the things that I loved about him, even in the first Evander Holyfield encounter, which those two guys are good friends now, but he's just very vulnerable guy. And, you know, how can we help the talent side that we work with understand that it's actually more valuable to be vulnerable than to pretend that we're somebody that we're not?
You're spot on. I mean, Mike and I, he's become one of my best friends. I mean, just through how vulnerable he's, but he is. I mean, he's a big teddy bear, right? People look at him as, you know, the baddest man on the planet, but the pigeons are a good example there, right? Like he's a lot of people don't understand it. Mike collects pigeons from all over the world. I've traveled the world with him to go and acquire these pigeons, whether he's buying pigeons in South Africa or the Netherlands or until you actually sit there and understand the therapeutic side of it to him. I mean, I've slept at his house in Florida where he's knocking on my door at, you know, 5 a.m. saying, "Adam, come outside. I want you to see the sunrise with the pigeons in the background. We're going to let them fly and watch, you know, these roller pigeons go." And it's one of the most therapeutic things you can experience. Just being able to sit there and listen to Mike explain his pigeons and the dominant ones and the whole process is just unbelievable. And it really does show, you know, how they're real people too, right? I mean, they're vulnerable, they're real, they're authentic, and I love them to death for it. I mean, it's what you see there is what you get, right?
Yeah, it certainly is, which makes it easier for the biggest challenge that you and I have faced in our career as well, which is aligning the right frequency of brand and protecting, you know, there's more than just money on these deals. Some people, when you have the biggest brands in the world that you're working with, will throw a lot of money. But to be able to explain the frequency side that this really isn't aligned with where we want to be or better, that this is energetically not going to help us. The money is attractive, but to convince some of the talent that a deal isn't just the money is difficult. Are you cognizant with your clientele to qualify them that they're open-minded to, you know, more the mission than the commission?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mike has a mission. He's planted that in my head from day one. He wants to bring, and I've said it since an early age. I can tell you a long story of, you know, cannabis and how it played a big part of my life, my grandma. And but Mike has wanted to bring plant-based medicine to the masses from day one. He said, "I want Tyson 2.0 cannabis medicine." He looks at it to everyone around the world. He's like, he'll call me, he'll be on a trip somewhere with his family, be like, "Adam, why aren't we in this country yet?" I go, "Well, Mike, it's not legal there yet, but we will eventually." So my goal last year was, you know, to expand into as many countries as possible. There's a lot of countries we're in that cannabis isn't legal yet, so we're selling accessories like rolling papers, grinders, and so on, vitamins, supplements, nicotine. But as soon as cannabis does come online, and we're seeing it drastically, you know, at a rapid pace evolve around the world. I mean, you saw Poland this year come on with new regulatory rules. We see Switzerland, Czech Republic. We launched this year alone. We got Australia, UK, Germany, South Africa. We just opened our first Tyson retail store. Amsterdam, we've been crushing for the last few years on the Tyson retail outlet. But just to see the global expansion is mind-blowing. I mean, we're crushed in South Africa with our first store. We got another 12 opening up. And my goal is to fulfill, you know, Mike's dream of having his plant medicine and everywhere around the world. For me at an early age, I started smoking weed at 15 years old. It was, you know, all I knew it for was a recreational product, get high with your buddies, you know, and go eat, you know, the local pizza spot or whatever and watch a funny movie. Until I turned about 17, my grandma was diagnosed with a brain tumor and she actually called me knowing I was the weed plug. And my booby, I'd call her, and she'd say, "Come down." I actually took a subway downtown Toronto, went to go see my grandma and brought her a joint. I sat on her living room floor. This is the first time I've got to smoke inside a house. And I passed her the joint and I remember this look on her eyes of just pure peace and calm come over her. And at that moment, it clicked for me for the first time in my life. I realized cannabis was a medicine. And that moment on, it just changed my perspective on cannabis as a whole, and as I hope it does, you know, for the whole world, right? It's a medicine. It's a plant-based medicine. And with our new President Trump in place, I'm hoping there's some major adjustments coming. Everything from, you know, the Safe Banking Act to rescheduling from, you know, 1 to 3, and in turn and eventually federal legalization. And I think Trump's the one to do it. Just his support in Florida for, you know, his push, it didn't pass, but at least he supported and pushed forward for adult use in Florida, shows, you know, his initiatives and where his head's at on that case.
It's funny because my grandfather was ahead of his time. He was a jazz pianist for Benny Goodman in the big band era. And his advice to me when I left for college was, you know, grandson, just promise me you'll consider smoking marijuana instead of drinking, because one will help you and the other will hurt you. And he says, you know, please just consider it. And I will tell you, back then when I went to college, marijuana joints were like clove cigarettes. That's how strong they were. But the medicinal purpose, I thought one of the more difficult things in THC, CBD, cannabis, even in psilocybin and some other plant-based medicines, is that the people that got into the business earlier were in it because of the purpose. They had these experiences personally or their grandparents a lot of times, and they saw the remarkable miracles that what was forbidden to us or even illegal, people just couldn't understand. And they became advocates, and they strongly, emotionally were tied, and they dropped everything and said, I don't care. I want to have this, you know, CBD soap or, you know, these pills or supplements or, you know, legalize this. And I think it was almost a detriment that so many people were so passionate about it, that there wasn't everybody that was the true businessman. I told Warren Moon, my business partner, when a banker came into our offices at Sports One Marketing and said, hey, we'd like you guys to support us, because Ricky Williams was one of our clients. Yep. Obviously also just not world known like Mike, but in America, very well known. And Ricky, you know, with High Times and everything, real bankers were in my office talking about capitalizing, you know, these businesses. And I told Warren, I said, okay, this is the start. Someday we're going to look back and people won't believe us that this stuff was illegal. And they won't even understand. By the time we're grandparents, people will be like, are you kidding me? What's the biggest challenge today? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I even look back to even 2016 when we first, with the private equity group I was with, when we shifted our focus into cannabis, and how different the whole cannabis industry was back then versus now. I mean, it was a different world. Even that, we're talking 9 years ago. It's incredible to see where it's gone. I mean, we were some of the first, you know, family office capital in, you know, dumping 9 figures into the cannabis space that was unheard of at that time, right? But it's, again, amazing, and I love seeing the progression as things have evolved over the years. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing product that helps so many people. It's a win-win product, which is really why I get involved myself on the capitalizing and marketing side of it. And I was so excited to speak to the experts in one of the biggest entrepreneurial ventures in this space. And I just can't wait to increase our relationship we can't sell a secret. And so worldwide, this is going to be an amazing medicinal venture that helps so many people. Last question, the future, you know, time, value, and emotion changes quickly. And even AI has an impact on this industry. What do you see or foresee to be the biggest challenge in the next few years in accelerating the growth of your products and the industry in general?
So on the karma side as a whole, we've really added, when we first launched, it was cannabis and hemp. That was our main focus. We've really diversified over the last year and a half, adding on, you know, becoming more of a global CPG brand house than just a cannabis brand house, adding in a lot of products, like I was showing you, the vitamins, the supplements, the energy drinks, the nicotine. We're even in the gaming space now for Mike in Asia, doing, you know, some different sports gaming, gambling games, and so on. So diversifying and adding a lot more talent. I think there's a lot of additional, you know, influencers have become the new celebrities of this day. So we're in discussions with a handful of influencers, massive names that everybody's familiar with, additional retired athletes, additional artists, everybody from A to Z. And I mean, we've spoken to everyone in the world. It's, you know, we've had massive names I'd love to sign, but not authentic. So it's really, you know, vetting them and ensuring they're the real deal. And authentic to the product, whether that's a supplement, for fitness, you know, which plays a big part in my life and Mike's life and a lot of our talent. But continuing to expand our talent roster and continuing to expand into different diverse products in the CPG world and grow our CPG brands through this model. We did add on, you know, an investment in my previous world, the franchise space, just recently this year. I don't know if you saw the Mr. Charlie's investment.
Yeah.
For Mike. Mike doesn't eat red meat. It's a vegan, you know, fast food concept, healthy alternative that was developed for the owner's children to eat fast food. We're rapidly expanding that into new markets, globally and domestic. So excited to continue to build that through the franchise model, which is, again, similar to what we're doing with all of our licensed products.
Well, we can't wait to get more involved as well. We have the Global Gaming League with Jeff Hoffman, the founder of Priceline, and myself on the board of that company right there in Las Vegas, in a big studio with T-Pain and Clinton Sparks. If you know. Yeah.
I got to come out to your the opening in Vegas. So excited to be a part of it with some of our talent.
Yeah, good people. And I want to get you guys on our CPG with Verb on the NASDAQ of, you know, being able to utilize the new way of purchasing products as well as crowdfunding it on Cheddar. So we would like to have you as a titan on there. A lot of invitations coming your way, Adam Wilkes. He is a legend in sports, and now he's a legend of entrepreneurship. We have so much in common, and I can't wait to learn more from the incredible CEO of Karma Hold Co. And he has surrounded himself with the right people and the right ideas that will guarantee his success. Adam Wilkes, thanks for joining me. This is David Meltzer on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.